It's Loving the Strange with Carrie Jones and Sean Farrar. Loving the Strange, a podcast for weirdos and those who want to be weirder, embrace the strange. New episodes every Saturday, live streaming Fridays. Loving the Strange. Check us out. Welcome, Shawnee, to Love and Strange. We are live.
Woo!
Live.
Yeah, right? Baby.
What?
I've been waiting for 2 weeks for this.
He has. It's highlight of his whole month. Bi-weekly.
No, I get 2 highlights a month, normally.
We're on Facebook, so we can't be naughty. Anyway.
I was talking about the podcast, Jesus. I think we do the naughties more than that.
You think? Anyways, Dee's here. Hi, Dee.
Hey, Dee.
Tonight's episode, Dee, is freeform deep dive into the strange.
It's kind of freeform, all right.
Because we didn't really plan anything.
I thought Gary had this planned out.
I did not. I've had a very busy week. But John Bell and Dee are here. Hello, John Bell.
Well, I hope some more people show up because my first thing, my only thing as to date. Is kind of interactive.
Okay. We'll hold off on it.
Yeah, let's wait a little bit.
We'll hold off, man.
Like 50 minutes.
So today's episode is theoretically called A Deep Dive into the Strange, which is very general.
Yeah.
But kind of cool, right? Because like anything can be strange. And I realized after we named it this, that like Reddit, I think they're like deep dive into Reddit or dive into Reddit.
Oh, there's a lot of deep dive like
no,
YouTube
like,
and stuff.
If you just like look at the Reddit search engine, it says deep dive or something.
Oh, really?
Or dive. Yeah, man. Like so I felt like we stole that from Reddit.
Oh, well, we'll give them credit for coming up with it.
All right. Thank you, Reddit. Thank you.
Holy
for
crap.
All right, let's just start with our day. So today I decided randomly to clean the fans above the bed, the fan blades.
Damn, you did.
And what happened is that I learned you should never clean the fans on a podcast day or any day that you have to go out in public if you're allergic to dust. And I went underneath the fan.
Oh, are you making up your excuse for your red eye?
Yeah, and I stood under the...
I'm just kidding.
This is not going to be a good podcast if you're going to be like this. No, it's not. Babe.
What?
Well, A, you're lying.
I already said it was.
And B, you're interrupting my story.
Shit, I'm sorry. And that's so mean.
Like, it's so mean because that makes it all about you, which is really narcissistic, right?
Oh, well, it usually is. Anyways. Carry on with your story, please. So I stood on top
of the bed, the mattress, and I tried to use this extender Swiffer thing to clean off the fan. But I'm from New Hampshire, and we don't have fans in our ceiling.
She was doing a great job.
And Sean came up, and he's like, what the hell are you doing? Because I hadn't even attached the Swiffer thing correctly. But that's not the point. Like
but
it was
she figured out the Swiffer, an extendable Swiffer wand with no fluff on it. Is a fantastic thing to use to pull the chains on the ceiling fan you can't reach because it's so high up in the ceiling.
Yeah, I learned all about our ceiling fan. It had features I didn't know. But that's not the point either. The point is that when you're cleaning all this massive, gross, disgusting dust above your head, it falls into your eyes.
Oh, I forgot you were talking about your eye.
Well, that's because you have a hard time paying attention to
your pot eye. I mean... I'm just kidding. They look great now, baby.
They're still kind of puffy. I think I look tired. But maybe Dee can tell me. Dee, am I better in navy blue or orange?
Why are you going to ask just Dee? Why don't you get a...
Because I don't trust John Bell.
A bipartisan decision.
And I know I don't trust you. So anyways.
I already told you my answer.
I can't figure out my color palette. And I need help.
It's not orange, bro.
I think it is.
No, it's not. Orange makes you look too red. Like me, but not quite as red.
I don't know. I think it kind of evens out my skin tone.
Okay.
All right. So, anyways.
Dee's
not responding.
Oh, she's still on the fans.
Oh, Dee said I had to clean my brother's fan for him before he moved out of his room, and it was dirty. Fans are disgusting.
Our dust was falling in clumps so big you could just pick it up with your fingers.
Like, I felt like I was in the Addams Family because there were like these, like, once I started going at it, there were like these freaking tendrils of dust crud, like hanging off like cobwebs. It was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
That's an awesome story.
I was ashamed to live in my house, honestly. Like, it was just that gross. Luckily, all right, so
I had removed the sheets for washing.
Yeah, the sheets were already off the bed. The fan is directly above the bed.
When Carrie was done with the fan, I also had to remove the mattress pad for washing. But that's okay. It hadn't been washed in a while.
Why don't you just tell the truth, Sean?
That is the truth.
Why don't you tell the whole truth?
Oh, I cleaned the fan.
Yeah, I gave up.
No, Carrie did it. 60% of the job, and she did it wonderfully.
And then Sean came in and said, "What the hell are you doing, baby? What the hell?" And then he said, "You should just let me do it because I'll be much more efficient."
What?
And the sad part is, he was like, I wanted to be really mad at him.
Baby, I'm just a couple inches taller than you.
So much taller, and he has depth perception, so he could see that where too. He was hitting the Swiffer. Like, I kept trying to go for
Carrie
the Swiffer.
Just kept knocking the fan blades around. It was like the fan was on.
That's very sad. I know, dude, no one else cares.
This is not really the top of the car.
All right, whatever. But that's why my eyes are puffy and red.
I do want to bring to your attention that we have two votes for blue.
All right, whatever.
Thank you, ladies.
That was my daddy's favorite color, orange. Well, I want to be able to wear orange.
Did a lot of stuff where he could use a little bit of fucking traffic control orange.
No.
You know, he was like a truck driver.
No, he had an my other dad. He had an orange Pinto.
Oh, well, that's different.
Yeah.
Like, that would be worth $1 million.
Classic car right there. Jen said blue and ceiling fans suck. Thank you. And Dee said it's hard to tell because Dee is a politician, apparently, and very kind. It doesn't look bad.
Which means it does.
But I like navy blue. And Jen says you need a hazmat suit and cloth to cover everything.
That would have been a good way to start.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have just randomly started it in my attempt to avoid other work. That would have been logical. Logical.
I want to tell you the real truth was, though, that when I first walked into the room, Carrie had a chair on top of the bed. And she wasn't standing on or in the chair, but I thought she had been.
It was on its side.
And she just doesn't have the...
What don't I have?
Nothing. The health insurance. They're standing on chairs that are on top of beds.
Are you ready to share your strange story now?
Oh, yeah. This is interactive, people, so pay attention.
Oh, no. All right.
Everybody bring up a Google search tab.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
All right. So if you're listening to this after the fact, bring up a Google search tab. Why does it have to be Google?
It doesn't have to be Google, probably, but it might have to be Google because I haven't tried it on anything else.
Okay.
So does everybody know who Ken Jeong is? Maybe you and I have seen him. He's an Asian stand-up comedian, but he's also like a doctor.
Yeah. He was on the Hangover movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want everybody to put his name in there. That's K-E-N space J-E-O-N-G. And then hit enter.
Why is it a what?
Look on the right-hand side.
Why is it a woman?
It's Jennifer Garner.
Why?
And it has the spouse of Ken Jeong as Ben Affleck.
Why?
From 2005 to 2018. But it also has his real wife that he married in 2004 and they're still together.
What? Here, I'll share it for those of you who are.
It also has that he was married to Scott Foley. share that.
Hold on. I went to the wrong thing. Why would it do that, though?
And down below, it's got his IMDA or whatever it's called, the actor thing.
Yeah, IMDb.
It's all Jennifer Garner movies.
What?
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time sharing.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Oh, that's why. All right, never mind.
Now, for part two.
Is there another part to this?
I want everybody to open up another search tab and put in Jennifer Garner, G-A-R-N-E-R.
Do we really have to?
Yes. Please?
All
right. Now see what the Wikipedia on the right-hand side of that page says.
All right, so this is what I see. Babe, you should be able to see it on your screen, man.
I'm not on. No, I have two different screens.
Oh, all right.
That's... What are you on? That's not a regular... Oh, here.
Oh, what am I on?
Yeah. Apparently. No, that's not a regular Google search freaking return, but what's this?
That's... It says... Hold on, let me get to it. It says... Dr. Kendrick Kang Young is an American stand-up comedian, actor, producer. Why does it do that?
I don't know.
It doesn't tell you why?
No. Oh. I lost that thread a long time ago.
That was your big thing? That was your big interactive thing? That was cool.
Plus, it was interactive. We've never done anything interactive on here before.
The whole podcast is interactive.
But not like with audience participation of actual looking up stuff.
Dee looks up stuff.
Oh, Dee looks up stuff all the time. She's our like pop culture expert.
Dee is amazing.
John Bell, how's your hip?
I don't know if you've ever sounded like you were 82 years old before as much as you just sounded like.
Wow. Well, I mean... He did have a hip replacement.
I know, but like...
It's not like he broke it, thank God.
No, that would be horrible.
Because you know what happens when you break a hip.
Okay, so on Reddit, John, don't listen to him. You're going to be fine. So, on Reddit...
He didn't break a hip, he's going to be fine.
On Reddit. Baby, you're making it impossible.
Dude, you just had 15 seconds to talk.
I was still recovering from your interruptosaurusing. Interruptosaurusing. And John Bell says he's good 90%, awesome. Which is amazing.
Hopefully he's fishing again.
Okay, so on Reddit, because our topic is strange things, it's what strange thing? There's this whole Reddit thread. Have you witnessed or experienced that you cannot explain? Have you ever had anything weird that you witnessed or experienced that you can't explain?
Oh, I probably have.
And it can't be like our local town council. It has to be like...
Well, there is that.
No, it has to... It can't be like a planning board. It has to be like something real.
Okay, well, you keep moving forward. That they're not real.
All right, so, and everybody else, you can think of it too because we're interactive. So...
We're dependent on our listeners for a good podcast.
Damn it. We are this week because we're just a little burnt out. So on Reddit, it said there's these stories, right? And one of these stories is by Mason J94, which makes me think that Mason was born in 1994.
You would think so.
But I don't know if that's true or not. So Mason said, I had a friend in high school who I stopped speaking to when she transferred in grade 10. 2 years later, I have a dream that I visited her new school and she sat in the back of her math class with her. I think he means that he sat.
Yeah.
Okay. In the dream, her teacher was tall, brunette with curly hair and wearing glasses. Yeah. The next day, I get a message on Facebook from said friend, which is completely out of the blue because we haven't spoken in months. She asked me how I'm doing and I tell her about my dream. She freaks out and tells me that she sits at the back of her math class and her teacher fit the description I gave her from my dream.
Perfect. That's crazy.
Did you ever have any like
dreams like that? I think so. I can't think of one specifically. But that kind of thing, I totally believe it.
When I was a little kid, I had this dream that my cousin Marky broke his arm.
Yeah.
And I remember like sitting on my bedroom floor that later that day and my mom comes in and she's like, got this, like, she's all paled out. Cause my mom, God bless her heart, her very, very dead heart now, but she was like very drama. And yeah. She was like, Carrie. And I was like, did Marky break his arm? And she's like, oh, how did you know that? And I was like, I just,
cause I broke it.
because I'm like, I dreamt that he broke his arm on his, I think it was a skateboard. I don't know. I was really little. I was like 6 or 7 or something. And my cousin Mark, everybody thought we were twins because we were like, we both had cross eyes and we were like 2 months, 3 months apart in age.
Carrie's psychic, girl.
I'm not psychic.
Yes, you are.
Except with my cousin Marky.
No.
Marky Mark.
What about all the mother dreams?
We don't talk about this. So Dee said, I read on a BuzzFeed article that this one person had a dream where there were fish swimming in the tank. And one turned to him and said, you better wake up before you're stuck here. That's a terrible dream.
And the dude woke up.
Yeah. That's a terrible dream, though.
I don't know. It depends on the quality of the fish tank.
Dude, what if we're all in the fish tank?
It might be a nice, tranquil place, unlike ours.
You know, listen to me, man.
We're living in an alligator pit. I am listening. See?
You're killing me.
Jen cough like your town council comment. That was pretty funny, baby.
She said, OMG, town council, I just spit my drink out. Yes! That was so cool. Oh, Dee said that in the dream, the guy said it was like a weird piranha hybrid. That makes it worse. Kelly says, you guys got to get out of the house and come hang out with us in Islesford. And Kelly, I cannot tell you how right you are.
Some year we will.
We do need to get out of the house and just hang out with you, be it in Islesford, which is amazing, or anywhere, because damn it, we need out of the house. You can tell it's impacting us.
That's right.
I'm like, orange, navy blue.
I mean, you've never worn an orange, baby.
Dude, I wear orange all the time. I used to wear
on
orange.
On your butt?
No, not on my butt.
You used to have an orange dress.
I did. I had 3 orange dresses.
But you always
and
put a navy blue sweater over top of it.
White. I wore a white cardigan, like every repressed teacher/librarian stereotype ever.
But you're neither.
But, no. But my brother, and this is my brother's birthday, he told me that I looked like a pumpkin in my orange dress. On the very last day, I talked to my brother.
He's a fucking asshole.
And now I don't wear orange anymore.
That's stupid.
I love orange.
You shouldn't listen to him.
I loved orange. It hurt my heart. Nobody wants to be called a pumpkin, man.
Yeah. Nope.
Nobody.
Nope.
See, Kelly says I should wear orange.
Wear orange then.
Thank you.
You'll look more maner.
I know. I feel like, hey, I'm hunting. But yeah.
For Christmas, I'll buy you a hunting vest.
No.
Orange on one side, camo on the other. So you come out of the woods and you switch to the camo side and you're ready to go to the bar.
Dude, no.
Yeah.
I'm never going to fit in that much. So, all right, you ready?
For what?
I don't know. I have another strange people story from Reddit. Ready?
Thank God.
Tryon B said he was out walking around the neighborhood late at night.
I used to do that a lot.
You still do that.
That's because I'm a voyeur.
Kelly, that's like the only time we get out. We like get out at night and we walk around town.
We go drinking sometimes.
Very occasionally. And over and over and again. And we just like walk the streets of Bar Harbor, which sounds really weird, but it's kind of like eerie and fun all at once, you know, like, cause it's like this whole different atmosphere than the daytime in our little tourist town. Anyways, Tryon B said, out walking around the neighborhood late at night with a friend one night, we would occasionally look up in the sky in awe of the stars. And I saw a fast moving light like a meteor, but slower, although much faster than an airplane. Then Then it made 2 sharp 90 degree turns. Like, his specificity makes you believe that he's like still remembering this moment, you know, like he's still all there and all in it. So it makes these 2 sharp 90 degree turns, right? First to the right, then to the left, and then it disappeared. My friend and I both stopped and said, did you see that? To each other. This was in the late 1980s, and I can still picture it like it was yesterday. And he still doesn't know what it was.
Really?
because it was way before Starlink. You know how like everybody thinks Starlink is a UFO?
Right.
Yeah, like way. And then underneath his comment, William Waters said, I just posted a story similar. Small white ball of light moving to my right and then just arched up and shot into the atmosphere. Thought it was a shooting star at first. And someone else was like, similar experience for me. Was moving from Oregon to Wisconsin and stopped in Montana to look at the stars since I was so far away from any civilization. Was looking at one particularly bright star when it slid over 20% of the sky. It was still for a minute or two, and then it moved again. And after a couple of minutes, it faded away to nothing. Too fast and high to be a helicopter. And distinct, sharp movements would rule out a plane at an odd perspective. I got back in my car, and I just left that area. Did you ever see anything weird in the sky ever in your whole life?
Not anything. I mean, I've had things make me stop and look harder, but nothing that I ever thought was out of this world.
Yeah.
Unidentified nature. Not really. No, I wish I did. I'd like to see a freaking alien craft come down and land in the road right in front of my car.
There is a atlas of this cool human named Aster Haven made an atlas of basically it's sort of like an interactive map of paranormal experiences.
Oh, yeah, you showed me that
in before. Maine. And one of them's like basically right over our house.
Yeah, it's right behind us.
Yeah, which is so wild because I'm like, I miss that. I miss that so hard.
You missed it?
I totally missed it.
We all did.
I was out walking the streets of Bar Harbor, basically.
Yeah, keep it healthy.
Yeah, that's what Chris said. Healthy living, no tourists in the sidewalk, so keep walking. And then Kelly's brain went right where your brain went, Sean, and said, walk the streets, LOL. And then a nice, shiny.
Not much business. Like, I tell her to stand in the doorways of the closed businesses, and I stand out on the street with my purple suit on. Nobody comes
and
up.
His suede shoes. And his white fedora. He's looking fine.
You're going to get my purple suede shoes to prove that I have a pimp suit?
No, he looks so fine.
All right.
So
I have a big feather cap.
A long, long time ago, when I was in college, I had to make money because I was very, very poor.
She turned to walk in the street.
I did not, but I turned to pretending to walk in the streets because Lewiston, Maine's sheriff department had a sting on the Johns in Lewiston at the time because most of the people, the sex workers, had AIDS or they were HIV positive. And so AIDS was kind of spreading in the small city of Lewiston, Maine at that point. And my boss at the security office at Bates College had been doing this work, but everybody knew her. Like, they're like, oh yeah, that's her. She like arrested everybody last week.
You get arrested.
Yeah. And so I had to go stand on like by these mills in Lewiston, Maine, wearing a wire, which is so cool. And like pretending that I was a sex worker to get men. I have a whole lot of thoughts about this now, whether or not that was right or not. What?
How'd that make you feel, baby?
Conflicted.
Conflicted?
I kind of feel conflicted. Like at the time, I'm like, yeah, this is the right thing to do because I don't want everyone to get HIV and like blah, 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 blah. But now I'm like, ooh, I feel a little entrapment-y. And a whole bunch of other things. But at the time, I was very, like, you know, 22 years old, self-righteous.
You know what? The worst part of getting arrested for that is getting your name in the newspaper.
It was the worst part.
Otherwise, it's just a misdemeanor.
And that's what everybody was like. They're like, please don't put my name in the paper. And we're like, dude, we can't control that. And they're like, you can control whether or not you, like, charge me. And I'm like, that's the cops.
I'd be like, yeah, that was me. And my wife wanted me to bring someone home.
He would have lied like that.
But.
But the funniest part of all that was is that you had to look worse than you normally looked.
Oh, I would imagine.
Like, It was a big thing. Like, you had to dress down. Like, they had like a army fatigue jacket that I had to wear because it was dressed down. Like, I couldn't wear my normal clothes.
And none of your clothes were dressed down, were they?
Nah, not enough. I mean, they were for Bates College, but they weren't for Lewiston. Chris Doherty says, so apparently this is where we have to start singing Lady Marmalade. Hey, sister, go, sister, soul, sister, go, sister.
That's right.
It cracks me up. And Susie says, reread Susie's, because I've been reading them all, babe.
When my son was 4, I had a vision of him coming inside and telling me he hit his head because his friend pushed him against the apartment building. His head was bleeding. Within a couple minutes, he came inside holding the back of his head. When I pulled the hood down on his jacket, I found his head was bleeding because his friend had pushed him against the wall.
Aww. But also, wow.
That's a big push, dude.
But also, aww.
To make your head bleed through the hoodie of your jacket.
I know, but she saw it before it happened.
I know, that's just mama. Mama-ism.
That is a mama-ism. Susie also said, I think I shared the story of my dream/out-of-body experience of getting second-degree burns on the arm I used to pull my younger brother through a ring of fire. He was at boot camp and had passed out from high fever. I was living at Japan at the time. That's amazing, too. Actually, I remember that story, but not well enough to retell it. That's amazing. The mind is so weird.
It's freaky.
Like, it's really amazing.
It is.
How weird it is.
Especially when you're asleep and it's like shut down.
When I was free
to roam.
When I was a little kid, the space shuttle Challenger blew up. This is one of my favorite weird stories, right? So the night before it blew up, right? I lived in New Hampshire. And so everybody in New Hampshire was really excited about the space shuttle because there was a teacher from New Hampshire on the space shuttle, and Martha Landry's dad, who was also a teacher, had almost gotten it. He was like the finalist or semifinalist. And everybody in our town was kind of depressed because he didn't get it. And Krista McCullough got it, right? And Martha was one of my acquaintances in grade school. And so the Challenger, the night before it blows up, I have this dream that my Uncle Gary is hugging me. And for context, my Uncle Gary was at the time in charge of communications at whatever, what's the space center in Florida?
Canaveral?
That one. So he was in charge of all the communications that goes back and forth from like space shuttles and satellites, right? And documenting it and keeping it. Like it's, I don't know exactly, he's brilliant. And so in my dream, he's hugging me, right? And I hear Elton John singing Rocket Man, and there's like
Jesus
this
Christ.
I know, I hate that song.
He was having sex in that dream.
I have so many issues with that song. And then there's like fire and explosion, right? And my Uncle Gary is saying, it's not your fault, Carrie, it's not your fault, it's not your fault. And I see my sister like walking through the fire, and my sister, who's a lot older than I am, sorry, she's not listening, so I can just say it, looks so much like Krista McCullough, the teacher turned astronaut who died on the space shuttle, that like people in New Hampshire would stop and gasp because they thought she was her.
That's hilarious.
Like if it was the now times, it would be a huge conspiracy and my sister's face would be plastered everywhere because everybody would be like, not really dead, because they would think that it was her. And it was very aggravating for my poor sister for like a month, and then she got a haircut and it didn't happen anymore. But
she had to cut her hair.
Yeah, so that was like my whole weird wild dream, right? And then like the next day we were all sitting in class watching it on, you know, TV screens, and it exploded, and I felt like it was my fault. I felt like there was some way I should have told my Uncle Gary about my dream, and like that child's magical dream would somehow have stopped the space. Yeah. So I don't like those kind of dreams because they always make me feel guilty, I guess. Like they're strange and weird, but guilty feeling.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, according to Uncle Gary in my dream, no.
It's not your fault.
Yeah.
Told you.
Uncle Gary's cool.
It's like those shows about the people that dream the future, and they're always trying to stop something horrible.
Yeah. I would totally try if I hadn't been a little kid.
Of course you would, baby.
Yeah. I never succeed, though. I also had a weird dream about Emmy, my daughter, before I knew I was pregnant. I was probably like, how pregnant can you be when you can finally take the pregnancy test? And
learn that you're pregnant? Then? Jeez, I don't know. Like, probably had to have a blood draw or something.
No. It was like, I don't know, maybe 4 weeks pregnant or something. And I had this dream, and I was standing on this hill with Paul Dahlberg, who was this kind of guru-esque guy at Bates College. Like,
is that Emily's real father?
No.
Oh.
No. What the hell?
I'm just teasing.
No. And Paul Dahlberg was standing on a hill of the house where I grew up in Bedford, New Hampshire. It was a house everybody thought was haunted because we were poor and everybody else was rich. And so it was just like a form of classism. But anyways, we were standing on top of this hill and we're both wearing like basically like toga type outfits. Uh-huh. And he was like, "She's a gift, Carrie. She's a gift." And this great blue heron, which kind of looks like a stork, like flies down and lands on my shoulder and plucks out my eye. And he's like, "She's a gift." And I woke up and I'm like, "Holy crap, I'm pregnant." And I was.
That was your brain thinking, "Oh, we're going to find out we're pregnant pretty soon. We better do something to remediate this situation." So then just plucked this random and created this wonderful dream with the word gift in it.
It was very peaceful. Even as I was losing my eye.
That's right. That was the truth. See, the truth was bedded in there.
You're so negative.
It's going to be painful.
A painful gift, but it's a gift, yeah.
Painful expedition.
Yeah.
You only need one eye for this, and it took away the vision and depth perception.
And it's already gone. But that's strange, right? Like, it's so cool how our brains hook things together. And sometimes, like with Susie's stuff or my space shuttle Challenger thing, like, it's like, whoa, that's like premonition, you know? And sometimes with like the Emily is coming and you best watch out dream with Paul Dahlberg, it's more like, wow, your brain's kind of telling you something, you know, like hooking it together, trying to help you out. Yeah. Did you ever have anything like that?
No. I don't think so.
Dude.
My dreams aren't that advanced, you know? I mean, my best dreams are like about sex, so.
How did I know that was happening? How did I know? I just realized that if you're watching the podcast, you can see my naked foot in your screen.
Oh, yeah. Through my screen. Yeah,
all right. So.
Even though yours is a blur.
Yeah, that's funny. All right. So, anyways. Am I going to tell another story?
Are you?
You're not helping.
Oh, am I supposed to?
Yes.
I'll tell you what, I'm on this here site. And all this stuff is videos and I can't share, so it makes it really hard. Or pictures. Yeah. Anyways, why don't you tell one more?
Okay, so here's another story, hopefully, because I don't have one queued up. And I was
hoping. What?
All right, so ready?
Yeah.
Driving from Cancun to Merida at night. About 10 years ago, this is from new feature username, middle of the road, there's a huge pothole, so I swerve to avoid it. About 200 meters ahead, I notice that a car has got its hazard lights on. It's parked on the side of the road, so I decided to stop and check and see if they needed help, though it might have been a flat tire. I parked, approached the car, and as I got closer, I saw what appeared to be two passengers in the back. There was no one in the driver's seat. And those two figures I had seen were mannequins with wigs and faces drawn with a marker or something. Just weird to me, at least. Can't rationalize that whole event. Dude, can you imagine?
No.
Like, seriously. Like, there's a car in front of you. It's yeah. night. They have their hazards on. You, like, pull over
yeah.
to help them.
Yeah.
And there's no people in it.
Just well, that it. Means they abandoned the car for some reason and left the hazards on so nobody would run into it.
But the mannequins!
Are they in the front and rear seat?
They're in the That's back seat.
That's just a prank, dude. As a matter of fact, I think we should do that.
Oh!
Hell yeah.
Can you imagine all the Facebook posts about Bar Harbor if we did that?
That's awesome.
It would be on like Bar Harbor's famous parking show.
Hell yeah.
It would be on Citizens Unedited and Citizens Edited about Bar Harbor. It would be on Down East Main Driving Conditions. It would be on Bar Harbor Barter and Swap.
So we have to steal somebody's car. We'll park it right in the middle of Main Street with the hazards on and put a mannequin in the front seats. Not in the back seats, just the front seats.
Can we steal Steve's car?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
One of our friends recently got an angry note on his car. So we'll, I feel like that's the car that needs to be
We'll
part
label
of this.
The mannequins working man and working woman.
The note had been signed.
Working man. Hey, or something.
A working man. He didn't like how he parked.
Which was perfectly fine.
It was
the
legal
parking job, I mean.
It was a legal parking spot.
It was a legal yeah. parking spot.
So this guy, another guy says, that drive from Cancun to Merida is one filled with weird stuff. When I was about 14, I'm 50 now, we were driving in the middle of the day when we drove into a cloud of locusts. We were in the locusts for 5 minutes. We stopped at a Pemex gas station to clear the hundreds of smeared locusts from the front windshield. Ooh. A car pulled in right behind us. The man said he'd been driving behind us and he wanted to know if we were okay because all of the smoke around our RV. We showed him it was not smoke, but locusts.
Wow.
And he said he didn't see any locusts and his car was clean. It's Can you imagine?
Behind the RV.
About 18 months later, we were again driving that section of the road, but later in the day on a Sunday. I don't know why that matters. We had been in Cancun for 3 days and we're heading to Campeche. Campeche? I don't know how to say it. I'm so sorry. We were all hungry. So when we saw a woman on the side of the road selling panucos, we stopped and ate. There were 14 of us traveling in two RVs. We ate a lot. The woman had this weird look on her face the whole time, kind of like surprised but pleased. She told my dad that the night before she'd had a dream that a bunch of people would be stopping to eat and she had made extra. We ate everything she made.
That's awesome.
Another dream though, right?
That's right.
Dreams are strange.
Another foretelling dream.
Foretelling. Make more food. Make more food.
I'm actually kind of glad I don't have those kind of dreams.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because then you have to worry every time you have a freaking dream.
That something scary would happen?
Well, if it's that kind of dream that you had, yeah.
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 Yeah. I seem to have, like, times in my life where I have more weird dreams than not.
Oh, that's for sure. You haven't had them in a while.
No. I've had a couple. I just don't tell you all the time.
Well, you should tell me.
Why?
How else are you going to document them? If you don't tell me at the time it happened, I'll never believe you after the fact.
At the beginning of COVID, when everybody was in lockdown, I wrote down all my dreams, like, every day.
You did, didn't you?
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and they were, like, totally weird and coinciding with stuff. But at the same time, I feel like everything was weird and coinciding with things at the beginning of COVID.
Coinciding with what?
I don't know. You'd like have a dream about like a map. It would be like this month and you'd dream about a wildfire and like it'd be like, oh, look, there's like which wildfire was it? Because like there's so many natural disasters. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I feel like there's certain times in your life or times in history where it's almost like everyone's more attuned to disasters that's happening in the world, even though there might not be, I'm not saying I won't go with climate change or forest fires or tsunamis or tornadoes, but I love to have a good tornado.
You
dream. No, I have so many tornado nightmares. I did during COVID, but like, if you think about like war dreams, right? Like or bombs, let's say, or those sort of kind of dreams about violence of humans upon humans. Like, there's certain times where we're so much more aware of that violence, even though that violence may not be more in that time.
Right.
That if you have those kind of dreams, it's easier to find those connections almost. I'm naysaying myself is basically what I'm doing.
My more horrible nightmares I used to have.
Yeah.
I haven't had any for a while. I mean, I have, but not anything that stuck in my brain for my entire life. Like the ones I had of going to school in my underwear. I mean, and before that, you know what used to give me nightmares?
I want to know what kind of underwear it was.
Tiny whities, dude. Oh. I didn't wear cool underwear until I was well into adulthood. I'm not going to lie.
Are you calling your underwear cool now?
Well, they're Under Armour. And they're silky soft boxer briefs. And they're cut just right to make me look like a real man.
Maybe you are a real man.
You know, a real man.
Nobody's listening anymore.
I know, man. For 17 minutes.
That's okay. That's what happens when we don't have a topic. So,
well, let that be a lesson to us.
I know. Oh, Susie's still here.
Oh,
thank
Susie's
God.
Out, well,
thank God for Susie. Susie said, do you want to read Susie for me?
Yes. My mom and my daughter have the same gift. My mom stopped my older brother from going on a bus trip with a man who turned out to be a pedophile. She had a vision the morning of the trip. She also kept me and my older brother from being in a serious school bus accident because of a dream. We were not happy because we missed the school dance, but relieved when we heard about the crash.
There are some people who say that, like, that sort of dream or, like, an attunement to the universe or to reality in that way. I always, like, when Emmy and I talk about it, I always like to say it's like you're just on the same vibration. And it's like you're a radio receiver and you pick up the vibrations.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they're so loud. You know, like a tragedy is sometimes so loud. Or when a loved one is about to get hurt. You know, you're already kind of like resonating and attuned to them somehow. I sound so weird, but I don't know how else to.
You're slipping into your metaphysical self there.
Yeah, but I don't know how else to explain it.
Sounds fun. That's a good explanation.
All right. So, but there's a lot of people who believe that there's like a genetic predisposition for many people who have that. Like it goes, follows bloodlines. My mom was really good at it.
I don't think that was in my family.
Really?
I don't think so.
Really?
No. Not that I'm aware of.
Are you sure?
Do you have stories to doubt me?
I think that you have a tendency to have a pretty sick sense about things.
Yeah, but not when I'm dreaming. That's just my normal persona.
Your normal specialist?
Yes.
Yeah. But it is strange, I guess, in the sense that it's not something that in our culture right now we accept as normal. You know that.
What, the connection? Like dreams to real life?
Like, yeah, or like even the stuff that you do. Like Sean will be in a situation like, let's say, a gathering of any sort, and he'll immediately know who's nefarious kind of deal. And sometimes it'll take a while before what he says to be
evident
via evidence, you know, but he's never wrong. And I'm always like, no, I'm sure they're okay. And he'll be like, nope.
Oh, yeah, it might take a while for them, like a month or years for them to prove me right.
But he's always right. And it's so frustrating. Like, so frustrating.
Sorry, baby.
But I don't know if you're trained for that or if it's something innate in you.
Oh, I've been thinking about that, actually. I think it's innate.
You do?
I think some of my experience might have helped fine-tune it.
Yeah.
But I think it's mainly innate. What?
I just think innate is a strange word.
Well, speaking if of you strange say it things. Slower, it's kind of weird.
It's like innate.
Innate.
Innate. Yeah. Do you have any other stories?
I haven't told any stories.
You had one interactive experience.
That's right.
And that's it?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Ready?
I promise you, I have been searching.
Next podcast, you're going to have to do more work here, babe.
I always carry the podcast. I don't know why you can't do it one time.
Oh. Are you ready?
I wish I could screen share. Then I'd be all set.
I think you can. You don't have a present button at the bottom?
The bottom of what?
Your screen?
Nope.
All right. It's because I don't trust you enough. All right. Ready?
Oh, shit. Here we go.
Did you just say a swear word again?
What do you present? A video file or slides?
Babe, you have to hit present. And we should not be doing this as a live tutorial during the podcast. All right. Ready?
Woo. We're going to be seeing some stuff next podcast.
I don't think you should learn. All right. Ready? It says, a few years ago, me and a bunch of friends were on a cabin trip at my friend's parents' cabin.
Yeah.
It was in the middle of nowhere, and it was late, so the road was pitch black. We were split up into two cars, and I was driving behind the person who knew where we were going. At some point, my friend just starts speeding up annoyingly fast. I start B-wording that I'm barely able to keep up. Suddenly, she takes a sharp turn down a wooded area with only a vague trail. I try to follow, but I'm desperately trying to avoid the massive potholes in my tiny, not fit for off-roading car. Meanwhile, the car in front of me is gliding down the path, seemingly no problem. I flash my lights for them to slow down, but nothing. I'm P-I-S-S-E-D at this point, and I'm cursing my friend's name while my passengers sit in silent terror. We finally make it down to a real road, but my friend's car is nowhere to be seen. It was like it vanished out of thin air. Again, the area is pitch black, so if there was any source light, we would be able to see it. We're lost as hell and try to call, but we don't have a cell signal. We drive for about 10 minutes before we reach them, find them, and are finally guided to the cabin. I mentioned to my friend about how annoyed I am that she took a dangerous off-road path without warning us and then just disappeared. She then gets a really weird look on her face and says, "What are you talking about? You guys were right behind me, and then suddenly you just turned off into the woods. We had no idea where you went, and we were really worried." Apparently, she had been on the road the whole time. No one knows who the truck was, where they came from, or where they went. Everyone in both cars never saw a car pull out between us or saw us get broken up. The three people in my car are confident that the truck we saw led us down the woods was my friend's car. Everyone else in the other car assured us they were on the road this whole time. To this day, none of us know where that car came from or how they snuck in between the two cars without six people realizing it.
That's crazy.
That's so strange.
But, you know, I was going to say, if you're on a bumpy road, you know, there's a speed point where when you reach that certain speed, which is going pretty fast, it's actually a smoother ride.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going over the potholes so fast that all of your independent tires don't have to fall so far because they're just... Anyways. I think in reality, maybe they were going around the corner and they lost sight of each other for just a second. That's when the truck
went in between.
I don't know how they know it's a truck unless the first girl was driving a truck, too. Pulled out in front of them. If they were driving like buttheads, maybe they were already driving like buttheads and just came zipping off a side road like, woof.
Or maybe they were just like, went in between them. They're going up to their logging, down the logging road to the camp, right?
Yeah.
And they turn, and this freaking car right behind them turns right behind them. And they're like, what the hell? So they speed up, and then the car behind them speeds up, and they're like,
they were like, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah. Like, oh my God. Like, they're following us. What do we do? And they're like, they like turn off their lights, like maybe hide, and the other car goes by and they're like, phew, like that.
Maybe it was actually a tiny little like crossroad, and the front car disappeared for just a second. The truck went across the road, and the other girl thought it had turned down that road.
That would totally be. I want to hear the story of the people in the other truck.
Oh, they were like, this crazy car was following us down. It's like, we're trying to moonshine down here. We had to get away.
It's so strange. But it's strange, right? Like, you don't, we'll never know the other part of that story. But how strange would it be to be those other people?
Oh, it would be a strange thing if you all honestly believed all that. You'd think it was like a ghost car or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Susie said, my mom's dad was born with a call and could see the future. He predicted both world wars and the war over oil in a desert.
What's a call?
I had a, it's basically your, I was born that way too. It's basically I was totally messed up when I was born. They thought I was blind. Yeah. But it's basically like the amniotic sac is like over your head.
Oh.
Which is vaguely dangerous, I think, like, or sometimes very dangerous. Yeah.
Like your sock side in the trash bag, huh?
I guess. I don't know. It's probably why I'm so weird. One of the many, many reasons. So one of our friends is organizing a New Year's Eve party, right? Yeah. And I was like, he was like, you got to come. And I was like, dude, and it's a New Year's party, Eve party that's happened in our community for a while, many years, you know, and I've never gone. And I was like, dude, I can't go because I'm not cool enough to go. He went.
Why would you say that?
Because it's true.
You've got me. Why would you say such a thing?
You're almost as bad as what our friend said, because our friend said, no, you can go now because I'm your friend. And this is why I can never have a big ego.
Oh my god. That beats me. That's so much better than mine. Oh my god.
I was like, dude, that's not what you're supposed to say right there.
Oh my god. I can't wait to see said friend again.
It was so bad. I'm like, so bad.
That's hilarious.
It's so true though. I'll never be cool, man.
No.
Cool. And that's so strange. Susie's like, who needs enemies with friends like that?
That's right.
I know. I'll never be a cool kid.
You are a cool kid.
Only in my own mind.
No, in my mind too.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Do you have any more stories?
No.
Any more thoughts about strangeness and our deep dive into strange? No?
No. I'll be honest with you.
Shawnee.
See? Susie said, I am the coolest.
Oh. She says, you are the coolest.
She was talking to me, man.
Of course she was.
she was talking to you.
No, maybe it was you plural versus you singular.
No.
Yeah.
They didn't even say y'all.
Y'all.
Y'all
are the coolest. Ready? So here's our last story. Ready?
Yeah.
Impatient mud crab. Right.
Mud crab?
Impatient mud crab writes, when I was about 12, I was playing outside on a really windy day, and a blue flying thing the size of a water bottle zoomed into my yard and got caught in some spider web in a bush. Its wings were clear, so it wasn't a bird, but the thing was huge.
It was a fairy.
And weird. If it was a bug, and freaking, I'm sorry, the grammar's not correct here. I'm freaking the F out, tangled in the web and branches. It was thrashing so fast, I couldn't get a good look at it. And I just kept staring at it in disbelief because I couldn't stop thinking, that's an F word fairy. I go over and try to detach it from the web, and it breaks free at the speed of F U. It was gone again.
It was fairy, dude.
Someone wrote, cicadas can get stupid huge.
Not that big. Was it like sexy in a miniature way?
I don't know. But the fact that
they fairy?
The fact that they used the phrase "the speed of F word you" is amazing to me. That is possibly the best thing with a swear word I've ever heard.
Really?
Yeah, the speed of F you.
That's the best thing you've ever heard.
Yeah, because that's creative. The speed of F you. That's like really creative. You know it's so good.
I really think that was a fairy. If its wings were clear.
And it moved at the speed of FU.
Yeah. Like, poof.
A lot of these stories on this thread actually are about people having premonitions of other people dying.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
For our podcast.
I know, but it's
a Happy Jolly podcast.
Happy Jolly. But it's interesting in the sense of like why people would pick up that as a premonition, you know, like if you think of it as
dying.
Yeah, like if you think of it as radio signals or vibrations, and
well, you do it,
why some would be stronger than others, like why is death a stronger one than, oh, I dreamt last night that Sean went and got McDonald's, you know what I mean, like why
you don't even like McDonald's.
I know. That's kind of the point. Like, like, why would, like, big events of violence or death or sorrow be things that people pick up versus,
you know, the
normal everyday or big events of happiness and joy and love? I think that's kind of strange.
I misspoke a minute ago. And it's kind of scary, honestly.
Yeah?
Because I said... You said about having premonitions of people dying, and I said you do it all the time, but that was wrong. Because your viewpoint is
usually Let's not talk about that. So
a non-victim.
Let's not talk about that. I asked like three times, Sean.
Well, I wasn't going to expand upon it.
Well, you already did. Okay, so Susie says, has anyone else experienced ball lightning? That's scary stuff. Have you?
Oh, Carrie experiences that like 3-4 times a week. I'm just kidding. No, I've heard a lot of, when I was down, like growing up in Florida, I heard a lot of stories about ball lightning, but I never saw ball lightning.
Really?
Like, it's real. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. I've just never seen it. But I've heard many, many stories about it. Like coming through windows and being in your living room and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I think that story that we wrote in the Bar Harbor story a while ago about the purple lightning storm.
Oh, yeah, that was cool too.
I think that had some ball lightning attached to it.
It did.
Yeah, and it just like devastated.
Or, I mean, descriptions of what sounded like ball lightning. Yeah.
Yeah, and it kind of devastated this island, that, not this part, but another part. And it just like was amazing. It was like in the 1800s. It's so cool. I'll
put it was like one of those little micro superstorms.
Yeah. Susie, have you, like, I feel like Susie probably has a story, but we're probably going to end before we get it. Yeah. So there, our strange thing ended up being mostly paranormal, I guess.
Doesn't matter.
All right.
Because you and I are the strange things every other week.
We are the strange things. But someday we'll be cool enough to go to that party.
Oh, without having a friend there. We have him as a friend.
But yeah, I know. It's all there.
I guess it's almost every party in town, dude.
I know.
Like all the big ones you've talked about lately.
Like, oh, well, our friend's there, so we should be able to go. He owes me.
He sure as hell will. Soon as you write that.
Yes, I know. The ditty. So, there we go. Strange.
Hey, weird. This would be a good time to advertise your obituary writing service. I'm just kidding, babe.
Oh, wait. Yay. I knew if we waited long enough, we'd get Susie's story. So Susie said it zipped through the front window and across the room, then out the back of the house, which had no wall at the time. We were adding an extension.
Well, it's a good thing, probably, because it might have damaged that wall.
That is so
if
amazing.
If it was a solid wall.
That's so amazing.
It's hard to wish negative or dangerous things upon
yourself.
But I would love to experience that.
No.
In a non harmful, non-damaging way.
And that is why Sean is strange.
Why?
Because you want to witness that.
Yeah. I want to see things. Like, I want to see, I'd like to see a Sasquatch, too.
Looking squatchy, them there.
Parts. Although I believe ball lightning is real. I don't necessarily. You know how it is.
Susie said I could feel the heat. It was bright blue and white. That's so cool, Susie.
Did you want to reach out and touch it?
No, do not touch. Here on this podcast, Loving the Strange, we do not condone nor support the reaching out of touching.
Or lightning balls?
No.
Or ball lightning.
Or any balls.
Lightning balls is okay, but not ball lightning.
Any kind of balls, no touching. So thank you so much for being here. And for having us in your life for this quick hour or however much of time.
It might not be quick for them.
I know. Thanks for being here. John Bell, we're glad you're feeling better. Stubby, thank you for the music and the outro. You're amazing. And thank you all for talking to us.
I hope it's been the best 3 hours of your life.
Thank you for listening to Loving the Strange. Please be sure to like and subscribe. And remember, embrace the strange. New episodes every Saturday, live streaming Fridays. Go get your strange on, friends. Thanks for listening.